Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost.
Good morning, precious brothers and sisters. Good morning. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. What a great hymn. Of course, different singers have put their own flavor to it. No matter who sings it, it's just awesome. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Aren't you blessed and aren't you assured this morning that God is still on the throne? Well, last night we had an awesome prayer meeting. And I got to tell you, for the first 4 weeks, we were at 18 people calling in. And of course, that does not reflect the actual people attending, because sometimes when someone is on a phone, and they have that phone on speaker, there are two or three family members listening to the prayer meeting. So 18 call in, but there's more than 18 on the line. And yesterday, for the first time, we hit 26 in attendance. That means that we got 8 more families to call in. God is moving. Share with others about our Tuesday night prayer meeting. It's only going to get better starting next week. Sister Hart is going to be teaching for the first half hour in our prayer institute. We go from 7 to 7:30. She's going to be covering the book of Revelation and also the George Mueller book. And then at 7:30 to 8:30, it's prayer. I'm reminded of that old Pentecostal hymn that says, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Join us every Tuesday. Spread the word. And I'm telling you, God is moving. God is touching hearts. And I believe that the prayer meeting will indeed be growing each and every. Our study is entitled Knowing God and Doing Exploits in 2022. Knowing God. And when you know God, you believe him for great things. Knowing God and doing exploits. Our scripture text comes from Daniel 11:32, which reads from the King James, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupted by flatteries, but the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits." On Monday, I gave you a little background introduction to the character in the text called Antiochus Epiphanes, who is not mentioned by name, but if you read the whole chapter, you'll know that Daniel chapter 11, there's a portion of Daniel chapter 11, starting at verse 21 through 35, that deals with Antiochus Epiphanes. And since our text comes from verse 32, then we know in the context of Daniel 11 is talking about this foreshadowing of Antichrist. So, on Monday, I gave you a little background to the chapter and the verse. Today, or rather on Tuesday, we talked about how easily there's a group in the church who can be corrupted, who can be bamboozled, who can be deceived, who can be led astray to join Antichrist. But today, we want to talk about a different group of people in the church, a different group of people that have a different mindset, a different view of God, a different view of the end times, a different view of what it is to be Christian, what it is to be a child of God, what it is to be a saint. So today, we're looking at that portion of the text that says, but that people. Turn to your outline on page 2, Wednesday, February 2nd. All we're going to be looking at is that phrase, but that. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for all that you did last night, all that you plan to do today, all that you plan to do tomorrow and the day following and the weeks to come and in the months to come. We seek you, Lord, because we are that people. We are the people referred to here in the second part of the text, a people wholly given to the Lord, a people passionate about the gospel, a people willing to put our lives on the line to see Jesus preached. Bless us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, and Holy Spirit, have your way with today's lesson. Again, the text reads, the second part of the text, which is in black, but that people, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Notice, two different people. One people can be corrupted by flatteries. One people can go over to the side of the Antichrist, but there's another people who will not do so. There's a people who know their God, and as such, will do exploits. Let's look at the phrase, but the people. The word people here in Hebrew is a noun, and it means citizen or people of the land. What land is Daniel referring to? Well, it's the land of Canaan, the land that God had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the covenant people who received by the will and decree of God the land of promise, therefore making them the people of the land or the citizens of the land. Like the ancient people of old, we too, us Christians, are a people of the land. What land? The land called Canaan, spiritual Canaan, the place called heaven. For the apostle tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. We are a people of the land. The land called the New Jerusalem. When you read Revelation 21, it talks about the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. The New Jerusalem is a city where the saints of God eternally dwell. That's where our mansions are. That's where our dwelling places are. And again, that's why the apostle tells us that our citizenship is not here on earth. It's in heaven. We are the people of God. We are the people of the land. We are God's covenant people, not Old Testament covenant, but New Testament covenant. Not the covenant ratified under Moses, but a better covenant ratified under Christ. Not the covenant ratified with the blood of goats and bulls, but the covenant ratified by the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. We are the people of today, the people of God. To give you a little bit more clarity about the people being referred to in Daniel 11:32 as God's chosen people, as God's peculiar people, let's turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Of course, this is not an exhaustive study by any means on the people of God, but it's just simply two verses that tell us five things about the people of God. So, in 1 Peter 2:9 it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy in the past, but now you have obtained mercy. Here's five things I want to tell you about you as the people of God, you and I as the people of God. First of all, we're chosen. Chosen, that word hagios in Greek, it means to be set apart, to be sanctified, to be consecrated, to be holy. Chosen. Now, it's interesting, when I was a child, when I was growing up in our large family, and there were, it depended on the year. There was a time when there was only five of us, and then the family grew to six, then the family grew to seven, and the family grew to eight. But I remember being in middle school, at about age 13, 14, my father took me and my siblings to the country store. And my father started to put our clothes away on with a thing called layaway. And so my father would go to the rack and pick out my pants and my shirts, and he would tell me, okay, go into that dressing room, put that stuff on and come outside. And I would I would go into the dressing room, come outside. He said, the shirt's too big. He would tell the man who owned the store, this shirt's too big. Is there another one a little smaller? And the man would bring you another shirt. And that's how they picked our clothes. We went shopping. And that was soon after my mother passed. So my father was basically a single parent. And he was taking us to do our shopping for school. And, of course, they did this right after school. They went to the store. They put stuff on layaway. My father had a couple of months to pay for everything before school started. And I remember agreeing to certain pants and certain shirts and the man taking all of that and putting a rubber band around all the hangers of stuff that I had picked, and he would put a name tag on it. And that meant that that was chosen. It was set apart. It was for me. All my father had to do was pay for it, and it would be mine. But it had been chosen. It had been picked off the rack, and it was on another rack, set apart, with my name on it, for one day to be fully redeemed. That's what this word hagios means. We are a people set apart by God. He has handpicked us. He has chosen us. And by so picking us, and he has also sanctified us. To sanctify means to set apart for himself. The next word that ought to give you great joy is that you are a royal people. Not just chosen, not just hagios, but also royal. The word royal means called to royal dominion. Called to be clothed in royal dignity. Called to live a distinguished life. The Bible says that God has chosen the weak things of this world. Paul says, listen, not many of you whom God picked were noble. Not many of you whom God picked were royal. You were basically commoners. But ever since God picked you, you went to another status. You went from commoner to royal dominion. You went from being a regular person to one being clothed in royal spiritual dignity. Again, Peter says, but you are a chosen hagios generation, a royal basileos priesthood. You are a royal priesthood, a priesthood royally adorned, a Christian priesthood with a distinguished life ahead of you, called to royal dominion. See, these are the people of God. The people of God act as God would have them to act, with distinction and dignity. We are chosen, we are royal. But then the next word says, but you are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood and a holy nation. That word holy again is hagios. Now, there's a difference between the first hagios and the second hagios. The first hagios tells us what we are. What are we? We are set apart. We have been put on layaway. You know when that layaway will end? At the rapture. When Jesus comes back for you and for me, that's when he picks up the layaway. But you've been put on layaway. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You have been chosen to one day be picked up. It's what we are. We are the layaway of the Lord, if you will. And we are royal. We have royal dignity now because we are connected to the King of Kings by means of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But this second hagios, we are a holy nation. You see, the first one tells us what we are. The second hagios tells us how we are to live. One tells you who you are. The second one tells you how you ought to walk in this world. The word hagios here implies, infers, teaches that we are to be pure. We're to be upright. We're to be blameless in heart and in life. We are to be virtuous. So we are a holy nation. So we're chosen, Hagias. We're royal, Basileos. We're a holy nation, again, Hagias. One tells us what we are. The second tells us how we're to live. Four, we are a peculiar people. Now, the word peculiar here doesn't have anything to do with your characteristics. Well, you know, he's peculiar or he's weird or he's eccentric. No, that's not what the word means. The word peculiar means the way you were purchased was peculiar. You know, back in all history, things were purchased with silver and gold. The bartering system in all of human history was on the basis of silver and gold. So when the Bible says you are a peculiar people, it means that you are peculiar in the way you were purchased. Peter says, now remember, saints, you were not redeemed. You were not purchased with what? Silver or gold. How were you purchased? Well, you were purchased in a peculiar way. Jesus bought you to himself by shedding his blood. Now, no one, listen to me, saints, no financial transaction has ever taken place in history where somebody bought someone else by bleeding out. No one. That's unheard of. That's peculiar. But you see, that's what makes us peculiar, that Jesus did that for us. He died for us. He shed his blood that not only might he buy you, but that also he might cancel the sins that you had accumulated. That's what makes you peculiar, in that you are blood bought. It is the unique manner in which you were redeemed. So that's what makes us a peculiar people. This is why you cannot go on sinning. Why? Because the author of Hebrews says when you go on sinning, what do? You trample again on the blood of Jesus. You're treating the blood of Jesus like if it was rubbish, like if it was refuge under your feet. And the blood of Jesus is not refuge or garbage or something we should trample on as though it was insignificant. No, that's how you were redeemed, by the precious blood of the Son of God. So, my brothers and sisters, what are we? Chosen. We've been put on layaway until the rapture. What are we? Royal. We're to walk with our shoulders up, with dignity, with a distinguished life, knowing that we are ambassadors of the King of Kings. What are we? Holy. That testifies to the fact that we're to be upright in the way we conduct ourselves, that we're to be blameless, pure in heart and in life. We are to be a virtuous people, a people of virtue, a people of great dignity. We're peculiar in that we have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb of God. That is the greatest transaction ever recorded in human history. He has bought us with his blood. Again, you go back in history and you show me where someone else was blood bought. Never happened, never entered into the mind of man to redeem another man by shedding his blood. Never. And this is why Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He's willing to die. He's willing to bleed out for the sheep. That's what makes Jesus unique. He blood bought us. And not with Peter's blood.
He didn't sacrifice Peter, and he didn't sacrifice James, and he didn't sacrifice John to buy us back. He sacrificed himself. That's why we sing, "Worthy is the Lamb of God who bled out for us. Worthy is the Lamb." Worthy. And then finally says, but at one time, verse 10, at one time you were not the people of God, but now you are the people of God. You see, what God is this? The true and living God. In antiquity, the Romans had gods that were a dime a dozen. The Greeks had gods that were a dime a dozen. The Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Persians and all of the ancient nations like Egypt, they had gods that were a dime a dozen. All those gods were dead. All those gods were made out of stone or wood. All those gods were inactive. Those gods could not see, they could not hear, and they could not deliver those who worshiped them. But you and I serve the one true living God who brought all things into existence and who makes all things alive. We serve God. So again, who are these people that cannot be bamboozled by the Antichrist? They're chosen. They're royal. They're holy. They're peculiar. And they are the people of God. Well, saints, that does it for today. I'll be back tomorrow for part four. Love you much. And let me play this beautiful hymn for you. Let me just pull it up here in the computer. And I just want to encourage everyone to continue to listen to Daily Manna, spread the word about Daily Manna, tell other people about the radio program, and don't forget the Sunday school classes in addition. This last and final song that I want to play for you today is Holy, Holy, Holy. God bless you.
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy.